Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Good afternoon again. This is Dr. Zara Larson on Circles of Change. It's a real pleasure to have our first guest segment with a colleague who's based in my former home state of Connecticut. So, Bob McCandlish, welcome to the show.
Hi, Zara. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, it's a real pleasure. You know, we often on the show talk about change and individuals in career change or organizations in change. But what I'd like the listeners to know about you, Bob, is we're going to talk not just about change, but real personal transformation. So I thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us as this goes forward.
My pleasure.
You bet. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Bob McCandlish has been leading Hands-On Expressions since 2006. It's a Connecticut-based distributor of motivational art prints that teach and assure. Bob describes himself, though, as a former corporate marketing leader wearing the upwardly mobile Together Guy mask. And today, he's dedicated to holistic health, teaching, and using his physical and emotional gifts to make genuine connections with others. Figuratively, that is, through matching fine art images with poetry, and literally via his recently launching a therapeutic massage studio at the Scranton Seahorse Inn on the Connecticut shore. A graduate from Fairfield University and a Division I baseball player, Bob majored in management and went on to play in the Chicago Cubs minor leagues, before then a 20-year career in sales, marketing, and licensing at firms such as Mattel, Major League Baseball, Fruit of the Loom, and eventually his own company. He's traveled the world, he's got involved in automotive racing promotion, a guy after my own heart, and worked with some of the brightest minds in consumer marketing. But then in 2005, though, Bob hit the wall, and his story then today is one of a major transformation that, as he would tell us, has brought him home. So what went on back in 2005 for you, Bob?
Geez. Well, I think it was a cumulative effect, Zara, of being in an environment that wasn't really bringing out my best. I enjoyed marketing. I enjoyed, as you said, working with some of the brightest minds in the business. I enjoyed the creativity of taking a brand and trying to target certain audiences and such. But for some reason, I just didn't feel like what was within me in a natural way, that something that had been there since I was a little boy, was not being accessed. And so after 20 years or so, I think I just simply ran out of gas and became a little less functional each job I had. The last job I had was my own shop, and we were just outside New York, and we were working with a lot of children's programmers, sports leagues, and a variety of other people that we had met along the way. I had two partners who were graphic designers, and so I would provide the strategy, they would provide the graphic art and the logo designs and such. And I just, over time, I think, just began to feel less and less fulfilled. And I think that, you know, the circles of change that you talk about is really what I was experiencing in very graphic terms. I just was not feeling fulfilled. I couldn't place my finger on what it was that was making me more fatigued in the morning when I got up, less enthusiastic about the people that I was meeting, feeling as if it was more laborious instead of it being something that was natural or joyful. So I think there were signs that were there. As I look back on it, I certainly wasn't thinking about the self-awareness that I'm trying to share with others at this point. I was blind to the fact, if you will, to what my own inner voices were saying. And finally, I think the life had to take me by the shirt and say, hey, you got to stop this. This isn't the place for you.
Well, I want to tell our listeners that it was totally intentional on my part to schedule you to come at this point of our show, Bob, because following you, we have Dr. Jonathan Ellerby, who's the director of spiritual programs at Canyon Ranch here in Tucson. And we're going to talk about his latest book, which is called Inspirational Deficit Disorder. So he coined that term IDD, and I got to tell you, I'm expecting that What you just characterized you're living through and coming and confronting is exactly the space that he works in. So this is perfect. So to our listeners there, stick with us, because it's not just Bob's story, but it tees in nicely to Dr. Ellerbe. Well, this thought that, you know, because others, I suspect at the time when you really could feel yourself, as you said, running out of gas, I suspect others were stepping back, perhaps, you know, maybe shocked, because here you were actually manifesting, or you had manifested your own business based on, you know, prior 15 plus years of experience. I mean, some people, that's their goal, and is to be able to step out and now be the master of their own destiny. But you're saying that still wasn't, you know, where it was for you.
Yeah, as you noted before, I mean, I'd done a lot of really interesting things. I'd been at, in the clubhouses when World Series were decided. Mm-hmm. I was in Formula One races working with Ferrari, who we had done a business relationship with when I was at Mattel. I was doing a lot of really interesting things. Don't get me wrong, it was fun, and I enjoyed them, and I was very grateful because I knew that they were special. But I didn't get a lot of sympathy from my friends or my colleagues. When they looked at me, they'd say, gee, you're kind of living the thing I always wanted to.
Right.
And that sort of added to the inner and outer experience that I was having, that on the inside I was very lost and lonely and out of sorts and not within my own source. And yet, to the outside, I had done a really good job of projecting a together, sort of can-do, cheerful, get-along kind of guy image, and I'm proud of that. I mean, but it took an enormous amount of energy, and I think that when any of us are doing things repeatedly that aren't necessarily within our core strength or whatever it is that naturally makes us happy or gives us joy, I think that it really, you pay a price for it sooner or later.
You sure do. You pay a huge price. In fact, my story in that same place is actually probably not unlike yours. I think I made it like 25 years, mm-hmm. and it started to manifest in the form of chronic back problems.
Oh.
And I mean, I was jumping from one type of doctor to another, and how interesting it was when I made a major transition that 2 weeks later, suddenly no back problems.
Hmm.
And you're thinking, okay, there's some messages here. Well, the process you went through then, that 2005 section of your journey, was it indeed a couple dominoes that tripped at the same time? Or was it, you know, not one particular thing that kind of brought you this moment of awakening?
Well, I think that putting together my company, it was just after 9/11. Clearly, everyone was in disarray. It wasn't really the best time to do something like that. So I think it had an effect on the business. But again, I think people are even, you know, in business, when you're running real fast, I think we're all energetic beings. And I think that no clients ever said anything, but I would think perhaps now they, in fact, I stay up with a lot of these old clients, and they're so happy for me, and they do see how this all works out for me the way I am. I don't know if they would have articulated it back then. Did they sense some sort of a, I don't know, like I wasn't in the right place?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was a little bit too eager, too desperate, if you will, for the sale, because I was having to try too hard, frankly. And I think that, you know, the 9/11, the economy, and then again my own erosion, if you will, within not being able to function, basically do the kinds of things that I needed to do to maintain a company and to keep it running. I just, ran out of the desire, and I ran out of the direction. I ran out of the reason why I was doing it.
Yeah, interesting. So yeah. Then take us to the story then of indeed what you have your hands on right now, and that is your company, Hands On Expressions. How did that formulate itself?
Well, Hands On Expressions is really a metaphor for keeping two hands on life, for needing to take it, you know, two hands on life, for living life as clearly and as Eckhart Tolle would have said, you know, or does say, you know, living in the moment, not the past, not the future, but in the moment. And I try to do that now. I try to, through my massage therapy business or my art and my writing, they all seem to have a common thread about creating a mind-body-spirit awareness to living. And everybody's got their own formula to that. Just because I happen to work for well-known companies and did what I did, that's a nice platform from which to talk about this. But you could be a gardener, or you could be a policeman, or you could be anyone, or you could be a homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's ultimately our own self-awareness, and how do we cultivate that? How do we cultivate that shift within ourselves so that we can still... I talk to people, Zara, and I say, just because I'm saying, you know, perhaps try some yoga or perhaps try some massage or meditation to become more aware of yourself, because all the answers are within each of us. I'm not saying go up to a mountain, move away from what all your responsibilities are, and be a Zen Buddha and not be productive. Absolutely. I'm looking at the opposite. I'm looking at, you know, creating a profitable and a thriving life,
mm-hmm,
economically,
mm-hmm. Great.
Relationship-wise, love-wise. I mean, I think that we all deserve enormous happiness in all its forms. And I think at times we are all a little bit hesitant to allow ourselves those great gifts. And so I think that the massage and the soft tissue manipulation, and as you were saying before, the mind-body connection, I get to witness that a lot with my clients, and I'm very grateful for that I provide an environment for them to be able to access that source of
their
own.
Yeah, that's really important.
And
when we
allow them to heal.
You bet. When we first talked about hands-on expression, you actually started it with more the figurative side in terms of the artwork. And you had shared with me that this was almost a cathartic process, an awakening for you, because here you'd worked with art directors, you know, ad infinitum in the course of your prior career, but that you said you got connected with your two art, you know, your two photographers you work with primarily right now. Tell us some
right.
of that story. How'd that start out?
Well, when I moved back here to the Connecticut shoreline in 2006, I had really hit bottom. I had no idea what I was going to do with my career. I had lost a bunch of successive jobs. I'd been fired, so my functionality was really going. I was recently separated from my wife of 17 years. We had lived in Maine for a year together with our two daughters, and it just wasn't working out. So I moved back with family here on the shoreline. So I really came without any money, without any direction, mm-hmm. and a real worry on my mind that I was going to lose contact with my daughters. I really felt, for the first time, thoroughly alone. And so, yes, I did have these two friends. I'm a visual person, and I was grateful they gave me some images for what really, I didn't have hands-on expressions in mind at the time I did them, but as you said, they really aided me in opening up long-closed doors for me. I'd always been a good writer, a good communicator, and used all those things in my marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But now it was more about accessing things within myself and using these really arresting images that I have on the website. And I began to write with them with no particular purpose, if you will, in mind, but rather just to do it. And as I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, I looked up one day and I said, gee, I've got 100 of these things.
I love it.
And I read through them again with sort of fresh eyes, and I realized that a lot of the themes, of course, autobiographical, with all the pain and all
right.
of the years of buildup that had occurred, all of it was coming out through this writing, and it was about forgiveness and self-acceptance, high standards, unrealistic standards. It was about life's transitions and about sorrows for things that didn't work out the way I wanted them to. But also at the end, saying, it's going to be okay,
mm-hmm.
and sort of assuring myself that no matter what happens and what kind of situation we all find ourselves in, it is ultimately we need to have that faith, I guess, to that we do have it within us to be okay. And I like that. And so all of my writing has maybe a reality of, hey, you know, choices are going to bring more choices. It's really hard and difficult to think about the choices, that you're going to have to make, and even harder to make them. But ultimately, you've got to jump off somewhere. You can't live in the middle.
You know, I find interesting your story of how you said you found yourself in the moment writing against 100 of these. You know, my work, of course, is to help guide people through the kind of process, you know, you're continuing on, I'll say, because I don't know that we're ever really done. But the one thing I tell people is, many times, if you're so frenetically searching for what's next, have you ever thought that perhaps it's like holding your hand on your, you know, fingers up to your nose? You can't really see your hand. You look up, down, side to side, but not until you extend your arm out do you suddenly see what it is. And so my question would be, here you are, I just can picture in the moment doing all your writing and, you know, a structured journal, you know, journaling experience because you had the photographs in some way to guide you. But was it a certain event that said, oh, gee, we could market these? Let's bring a website up. This is something perhaps others can share. I mean, can you remember a moment or someone approaching you about it? Or was this something that just naturally popped into your mind?
At that point, I definitely knew I wanted to share them. And I had begun to share them in, you know, more informal ways. I didn't have the website, and I was a far away from that. But I watched how people read them. Mm-hmm. Either they were interested in the image and it reminded them of something, or they were reading the words and it, again, accessed something within them. I was really amazed to watch it happen, the combination of the writing and the image. It was a unique sort of experience for the viewer. And as I saw that, I thought, I really have something here, and it is making connection. And that's what I was trying to do. I'm trying to connect with myself in an authentic manner. And I wasn't authentic in all those years. You know, I had the mask. And I wanted to just keep my rudder down and just not think about things too far down the road. Just keep going. I was meeting too many wonderful people. I mean, look at me. I'm talking with you on this fabulous radio program and I've met you. And I think that's what's keeping me going, to say, well, I may not exactly know how it's going to end, but I absolutely know that it's the right place for me. I did think, though, it's funny, coming out of a room here in my house, I was just mulling around my head. I had just enrolled in massage therapy school, and it just popped into my head, healer.
There you go, yeah.
And it's a little embarrassing to say, really. I mean, I don't view myself as I guess I do view myself as a healer in my own way, but not in an egocentric way, but rather that I have certain gifts, and that I want to share this with people, and I want to be approachable, and I want to make all of this affordable, because I know how important it is. Ultimately, as you know, this is no dress rehearsal. We have life, and the goal of life is to live it well, and to force ourselves to with that notion, to say, what do I like? Because we give to our families, we give to our husbands and wives and girlfriends and whomever, and our jobs, and I think it's an easy thing to get into where we lose ourselves in all of that, in the pace of life. And sometimes we use excuses to say, well, I have a family to support, I can't do this, I can't do what I want, because I have all these other reasons. And that sounds good, but ultimately, is that really enough? Because ultimately, when you pass on, you're alone, and you don't want to be disappointed. You want to have lived the life that you were meant to live, and you can.
That's really true. Tell
people, and hopefully inspire them to, in their own little ways. I'm not suggesting, again, either going up on a mountain and becoming a monk, and I'm not suggesting going to your boss and saying, I quit. But I am suggesting there's a variety of ways that we can still get back in touch with who we are, and we're born with those things. And that's the good message, because it's just that we're like onions. You know, we have a lot of layers that get built up. But if we have the courage to turn around in a metaphorical road, turn around, and you find, gee, I've been running away from things I really don't want to deal with.
Well, that, and then also, you've, like you said, you've let some things get buried that truly are your gifts, your passions, or as we often talk about on this show, your real motivated abilities. Now, your journey into getting involved with massage and getting licensed and so on, you know, I can envision here you are really having been a very successful athlete. Was that part of that physical manifestation, or was it also this idea of, or coupled with the idea of connecting with people? I mean, there's nothing more powerful than human touch, particularly for people in change.
Well, I'm youngest of five children, and I remember
there you go.
Giving back rubs to my sister while we were watching, you know, Mary Tyler Moore or whatever we were watching in the 70s, you know, and during commercials, and you just hope that your commercial break was long when you were getting a back rub.
Yeah.
But it was always a natural form of expression for me, touch. And so there's that, and I think that being an athlete and healing myself, my own body, understanding what my physical body needed to heal or to become stronger and to maintain the balance of pitching, of performing a specific act. I enjoy the physiology and the kinesiology of the body and how it works and how what a miracle it is. But I also like the teaching aspect, the connection aspect, and to be able to witness that mind and body connection. And when people just make it, it's really a special thing.
Yeah, tremendously fulfilling. Well, I think the other thing I'd share as I'm listening to your story again here, Bob, is that I see you moving forward with not having regrets as well. Even though, you know, there are some hard twists and turns on the road, as you described to us, you're running out of gas, but I also hear a tremendous amount of, as I say, circling back, because of your, for example, knowing instinctively how to most likely deal with the graphics of your website. Or, you know, as you get forward and think about licensing and branding and so on and your business-to-business connections ultimately for your prints and your poetry, I mean, that's going to be like falling off a log for you if you would choose to do it. And I even have to chuckle your comment about having both hands on life to live it well, your tagline. I mean, I right away was jumping, you know, both hands on the wheel, meaning, you know, connecting back to your time probably with an affinity with automotive racing.
Yeah, it's interesting. I definitely scratch my head. And, you know, one of the most, maybe the most underrated emotion is gratitude, humility right behind it maybe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, yeah, maybe for me, I had to go through what I did. I wasn't listening to those little voices that we all have. So that helps me a lot, that gratitude and that willingness to take chances. I want to concentrate on the content. I used to, you know, market other people's brands and think about clever ways to present it and to communicate them. But now I think my job is to stay clear, to create my own brand voice.
That's
like
love
you
it.
And I are speaking, you know, I want people to have a familiarity, whether they've had some therapeutic massage from me or they happen to have some of my art. I want all of that to be consistent, and I certainly don't want to get off the track like I did before.
You
so
bet.
There's a little bit of fear in
As
going
always,
back
it
there.
Keeps us honest. Well, Bob McCandlish, thank you so much for joining us and being so honest. Bob is with Hands On Expressions. You can see his artwork at handsonexpressions.com. I loved your comment, too, by the way, that choices are going to bring more choices. So we're going to watch your progress. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Zara.
You
appreciate
bet.
You having me.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.